Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's been called the Obi-Wan Kenobi of small business.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And, you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got a good friend here with us right now. A longtime original member of our Brain Trust, Mike Menzies, is the president of Eastern Bank and Trust. And that's an outstanding independent community bank. I love saying that name, independent community bank. It's just music to my ears when you know a little bit about my history with banks. I love independent community banks, and that's one of the reasons why we're so fond of Mike Menzies. Mike, welcome back to the show.
James, thank you, and I appreciate that. There's nothing worse than being a dependent community bank.
Independent community bank. Doesn't that just make you want to go hang out with people? It makes me want to just go and sit in their lobby, you know?
Yep, makes me want to have a cup of coffee and get some caffeine in.
Exactly, exactly. Hey, Mike, you were talking about a dependent community bank. Let's talk about the news of the moment for a minute. You may not know about this, but I guess yesterday, or at least over the weekend, a savings bank, a rather small savings bank in Spain, was taken over by the Spanish banking regulators. And apparently that's created a little bit of anxiety and some market ripples over in Europe and maybe in what may be over here in the United States too. Then this all from, it seems, at least some people are pointing to this being from one small bank going under.
Well,
now we have five of those in these days, five independent banks or small banks go under every week, right, in this country.
Yeah, I think what we've got to recognize, and I am not intimate with the Spanish banking system, so don't let me pretend that I know what I'm talking about there. But, you know, we do have the most diverse, strongest banking system in the world. And that diversity and that strength has played a major role in holding our economy together at a time when it really had every right to come apart totally. The FDIC is funded by the banking industry. The FDIC has prevailed through these different business cycles, and it has a resolution process where if a bank does not have adequate capital to continue to justify FDIC insurance, then the FDIC steps in and resolves the bank.
Remind the audience, and just in case somebody might not know, they've heard of FDIC, remind the bank what FDIC does.
Okay, well, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is a government entity that insures the deposits of the industry, and that insurance comes from the banking industry paying insurance premiums into a reserve fund,
right,
a fund that's available to pay off depositors if a bank is taken over and resolved by the FDIC.
It's a way of spreading risk across the whole community.
That's exactly right. It's a form of self-insurance, and the FDIC has done a marvelous job dealing with these issues, all things considered. Now, with that said, in this country, we have a double standard. We have too big to fail, and we have too small to save.
Right.
So if, and that's what all this, much of this regulation has been about, is that we discovered in the financial collapse that there were a handful of megabanks that were so big and had so much in deposits and assets that the government couldn't allow them to fail. They were too big
right.
to fail. So the taxpayers ended up being the insurance fund for those large banks.
I want to talk about that in a second, but what I wanted to get, one of the things I want to make sure we talked about in this segment was this thing about, and I know you're not a Spanish bank expert, nor am I, but it just seems like it's just interesting to me that one small savings bank that had too many bad real estate loans, which is what I read about this, it failed, and that seems to be something that some people in the equity markets around the world seem to be getting upset about that. And so, I guess my point is to your point. You know, in America, when something like that, we've been dealing with that. We've been going through all that. I mean, when some small bank fails in America, that doesn't throw our world upside down. But apparently Europe's banking system either is so fragile or is, as you said earlier, not well interconnected, maybe not as well insured. When that happens over there, they seem to be, you know, having more problems over there. So I think that's a good point to make, though, Mike, is that what's happening in Spain today or this week compared to what's been happening in the United States demonstrates what you said about the overall strength of the U.S. system, the U.S. banking system, and something we should take a lot of confidence in, I think. 22, right back. We come back, Mike's going to give us a further report on the financial regulations and how that's going to affect your relationship with your small bank.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and he'd be pushing out the wheel.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you're on Twitter, you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Mike Menzies is our guest, our good friend, president of Easton Bank and Trust in the beautiful state of Maryland, in the idyllic city of Easton, over on the Eastern Shore, right, Mike?
That's exactly right.
And
all the men are strong and the men are handsome.
And the soft shore crabs are running, aren't they?
The soft shells are just getting going. We're heading into a beautiful time of year for the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
There you go. Mike, one of the things that we knew was going to happen after the financial meltdown that we had back in 08, we knew that politicians were going to get involved, and I pretty much knew that they were going to not be productive, that what they were going to do was going to be, you know, maybe one thing beneficial and nine things harmful. I just don't have a very low regard for the quality of work of our elected representatives, especially when it comes to financial stuff, because they're just not smart enough to know what they're doing up there. But what I'm more worried about, I'm not worried about Wall Street, because I think Wall Street can take care of itself. I'm worried about what the collateral damage that this financial regulation law that they're in the process of passing, I'm worried about the collateral damage it's going to have on independent community banks and therefore small business owners. Talk to us about it.
Well, we're all worried. All community banks are worried about the collateral damage. And we've been worried about it ever since the train wreck, which was caused by Wall Street and a few mega banks.
Right.
And
politicians, they're complicit in it too.
So it was logical, one, that there would be a political reaction to the train wreck, and two, that it would produce certain unintended consequences. And that's why the Independent Community Bankers of America has been fighting for 2 years to do everything possible to diminish the damage to community banks, to find ways to reduce the damage that this type of legislation does to community banks.
I read a while back, not in the last couple of weeks, maybe a month ago, that there was going to be some exclusions, that there was going to be that these rules were only going to apply to a certain size banks, and primarily those were with assets in the billions, which would be a larger independent bank.
Well, yes.
Is that still the case?
One example of a carve-out, if you will, is the new Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, the CFPB, that's formed by this legislation.
Right.
That is an organization that might be, a corollary might be the Food and Drug Administration of Banking. That body will still promulgate consumer regulations. But, number one, it will not have the authority to go directly into a community bank and examine it, which will save a community bank tremendous amounts of money because they
and
won't
time.
Be under the
exactly.
direct examination,
mm-hmm.
as if we need another examiner. And two, that our existing prudential regulator, FDIC, Federal Reserve, state, whoever, can deliver the promulgation of all consumer regulations and do so through their exams.
So you only have one source of authority.
Right, and that provides a level of relief. It's not total relief. We'd prefer that there not be a CFPB, but if there is one, we're pleased that community banks under $10 billion don't have to deal with a direct exam.
What is this PFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau? All right, what does that have to do with this financial regulation to stop the kind of crisis we had before? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, it was formed because there were mortgage brokers of certain types and unregulated lenders who created products that contributed to the meltdown. Mm-hmm. Certain types of subprime products, some fairly irresponsible forms of lending, and it was government's choice to create an entity that would establish the parameters for these kinds of products. Banks are already regulated and, frankly, don't need additional parameters.
Well, did independent banks create any of those products?
Absolutely not.
So why are they being held to account for that when they weren't part of the problem?
They should not have been, and they should have been totally excluded from CFPB.
Yep.
It should have been totally focused on the unregulated entities.
Right.
Those entities that were unregulated that did the lion's share of damage to the industry, to the financial services industry, and a handful of mega banks who participated in the creation of these Wall Street shadow entities that provided a warehouse and an avenue for these sketchy products.
So, folks, now you see my point, Mike. When I talk about not having a very high regard for the quality of work of Washington, I mean, for them not to be able to identify the culprits and focus on that instead of using a shotgun and inflicting this blast on everybody, that's an example, in my opinion, of the inefficiency of government and the poor quality of work and their inability to really be granular in their work. I mean, they basically have a shotgun. They don't know anything about lasers.
Well, James, also it points out the political process and the power of gigantic financial houses, some of whom even advocated for the creation of the CFPB.
Wow.
And they did so because they know they can ship those regulations to the 20th floor, and 400 compliance officers can deal with it, where a community bank has to go out and hire a couple.
Or you're one person in the back room there. Hold on to that thought, Mike. We've got to take a quick break, folks. Mike Menzies and I will be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland. Mike, give us that website, please.
Oh, it's www.eastonbankandtrust.com.
Yeah, it's not your grandfather's bank's website, so be sure to check that. I'm sure they can find your blog there, can't they, Mike?
Absolutely, they can find all kinds of things. They can find our potatoes, our carrots, our logs, our corn, our chicken.
Mike, we're talking about the financial regulation law that's going through the Congress right now, FinReg. What do you think is going to be the ultimate resolution on that? How, if you're a small business owner out there and you're trying to contemplate, you know, the relationship that you have with your bank, say an independent community bank, as I do, over the next 12 months, how is this financial regulation going to change that relationship?
Well, I don't have the 2 or 3 hours needed to really respond to that, but I'll hit a point or two. Number one, in conference committee, there's an amendment called the Collins Amendment, which reduces the capital in banks. It says that banks can't use their trust-preferred securities capital as capital. Huh. And if that amendment is not taken out as legislation, it will injure many, many community banks.
Really?
And absolutely.
Because they won't be able
capital.
To do as much business because
exactly
they,
right.
their capital has been diminished?
Yeah, they'll have to shrink their balance.
They loan against
and that
capital.
Will reduce,
they loan against the capital they have, don't they?
Right. So Small Business America should do everything they can to encourage Mr. Frank to work that thing out of the legislation. We don't need the Collins Amendment.
Why did Collins? She's a Republican from Maine, right?
Yeah, and I think
why did she do that?
I think she was trying to put the all the banks on an equal keel, because the biggest banks have lots of trust-preferred securities and the smaller banks don't have as much. And I think it produced the unintended consequence of reducing capital in any bank that has a trust-preferred security. This is not the time to be reducing capital at any bank in the land, regardless of its size.
Surely they'll see that as contrary to economic growth and not even necessary.
Yep, hopefully. And then the other thing is that there was Senator Durbin has interchange legislation in there, which will basically push many community banks out of the debit card and then eventually the credit card business.
Really?
And reduce consumer choice to a few mega credit card, debit card issuers.
Well, I certainly use credit cards and debit cards for my bank.
Well, that the legislation
is very handy for me. It's very important for my business.
It will transfer the fees that merchants pay to have access to the payment system right now to the consumer, and it will reduce choice in terms of the numbers of banks that are able to deliver this service.
So you're saying that Frank is trying to get a section of this new bill to take away the ability for me to have a debit card at my independent community bank?
No, not so. Barney Frank opposed that in the House bill.
Yeah.
Senator Durbin managed to get it into the Senate bill.
I'm sorry, Senator Durbin. I didn't mean to.
Senator
I misspoke.
Durbin, yep.
Senator Durbin. What I said is correct, but the name was wrong.
Yeah, Senator Durbin got it into the Senate bill, and we need to find a way to get it out of there. It doesn't help anybody. Anytime government gets into micromanaging prices,
exactly.
Where does it end? And so the last thing we need is for government to be micromanaging prices for anybody.
So the two things we need to do, we need to talk to our members of Congress, tell them to throw out the Collins bill.
The Collins Amendment.
And also throw out the interchange amendment, which if passed, would prevent me from, ultimately would prevent my independent community bank from offering me a debit card and a credit card.
Well, if we have products that we offer and we lose money on them, we're not going to offer them.
Exactly.
Simple as that. So it'll restrict choice. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And the purpose of the interchange fee is to regulate the pricing of interchange. It's to say that one mega company can offer the lowest price and they get all the business.
Right.
It's sort of it's the Walmart amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Mike, anything else that in the 30 seconds we have left, anything else that you'd like to tell us about FinReg?
We're going to have to wait and see how it all comes out. The one good thing, if there is anything good, is that it includes a change in the deposit assessment formula, which transfers about $4.5 billion of deposit premiums from community banks to mega banks.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, and that helps community banks tremendously. And that absolutely is a victory.
Well, the jobs growth, Mike, in America is going to come from small business owners. And the bankers small business owners rely on are community banks primarily. And therefore, if they pass this bill against the interests of independent banks and small businesses, that's going to be bad for the economy. So, folks, get out the vote on that. Mike, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too after the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.